Welcome to the latest edition of the OmniTalk Spotlight Series, where we discuss the technologies, the companies, and the people that we believe are shaping the evolution of retail. We're coming to you live from NRF here in New York City in the throes of their annual conference, and we're excited today to touch on a topic that has been highlighted in many of our discussions this year, and one that we know has been top of mind for our OmniTalk followers, and that is the evolving relationships between CPGs and retailers. As the retail landscape rapidly changes, some interesting challenges have surfaced that both retailers and CPGs are facing. So we've gathered a panel here today that we're excited to introduce to you to learn how they're working through these issues and the solutions that they are piloting. So without further ado, let's go around the table and have each of our panelists introduce themselves. Let's start first with Alexi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the invite, first of all. My name is Alexi Bouveau. I'm the trade marketing director for Rémy Cointreau, which is a French global liquor company that is has an international portfolio of spirits brands and is family owned in France.
Awesome. Eric, let's go to you next.
Eric West, head of strategy at IMS, an Omnicom agency. We focus on executing in-store merchandising.
Wonderful. And then lastly, Sean England.
Sean England, I'm CEO at Footmarks, and Footmarks is a proximity platform that enables engagement, asset tracking for retail and CPGs.
Awesome. Well, this is a good group. I'm excited about the conversation we're going to have here today. All of you guys, welcome to the show. Let's get started first, I think. So, Alexi, let's start with you. You're our sort of quote-unquote CPG representative on the brand.
Yep.
So let's start there. What are some of the biggest challenges you face as a brand or CPG, and especially as a supplier of product in the U.S. liquor industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, that's the kind of the interesting part from the liquor industry. It's actually quite a complex industry and very highly regulated. You know, so we have what we call, for those who are not familiar, a three-tier system where, you know, you have suppliers that have to sell to distributors, distributors have to sell to retailers, and no one can be in two different tiers. So on top of that, every single state has a different law. And you also have some control states. So it's a very kind of complex, you know, industry with a lot of different stakeholders all around. So, you know, for us, one of the, you know, major challenge, but I would call this really a big opportunity for us, is how do we increase, you know, like execution visibility, you know, around, our programs that happen in retail. So we are able to actually better understand what is happening and how it's happening, and be able to really make everyone, you know, and really help our sales team to be able to better understand how they can push their, you know, distributor to increase, execution of our programs.
Well, that's a really interesting dynamic, because I mean, I imagine companies like yourself, you spend a lot of money on brand marketing and advertising, and so making sure things are executed in the appropriate way has got to be pretty important. So
yeah, absolutely.
Like, how well does that all play out day to day?
Absolutely, I think it's critical. I think you know, and for us, it was the whole idea was how can we use, you know, technology to really pivot this conversation, because right now, because of the complexity, because of the number of distributors, the number of, you know, different states, you know, it's very hard to aggregate, you know, kind of, you know, data and execution measures to be able to really have meaningful conversation about what is happening. So what we've been looking at is, you know, with all our different partners, is to find solutions to be able, because we know better execution will lead to better sale, better visibility in store. But, you know, if you can't measure it, if you can't track it, you know, it's hard to, you know, really understanding what is happening and how you can better influence it. So that's what we've, you know, being able to work with, you know, IMS and Footmarks here to be able to develop solutions that we're piloting to be able to give us visibility and to be able to give our sales team the right tools and right analytics to be able to talk with distributors on how we execute our programs and all our retail merchandising.
So, and we're just at the start of learning this level of execution and what that opportunity can mean for Rémy. For some of our other clients, we've seen that execution of in-store POP can be as low as 35% for some of our clients. And
35% executed.
35% from...
So 75% of the time not executed.
Absolutely. Wow. So from what you buy and what you manufacture to what actually makes it inside the store. So the failure points are many, and you can see them falling off from distributor to in-store retail teams, retail operations teams not doing exactly what they're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, the final number is what matters. So it's as low as 35% for some industries. And if you get to 60%, you're kind of applauding yourself and patting yourself on the back.
Wow. So that's the marketing managers can't love that statistic, I wouldn't think. That's got to be a death blow to you. A lot of work.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what's the hardest part right now is how can you measure it, you know, in a simple way. And you can basically give tools to your sales team to be able to be empowered to actually go out there and, you know, try to increase those numbers. And I think that's the fundamental point, is how can we use new technologies to be able to do that. And I think, you know, for us, what we've been looking at with AMS and Footmarks is using new beacon, kind of coupling, beacon device technology that we can apply on all our merchandising with, location-based data to be able to constantly being able to know where are our merchandising, and how they are, being executed. You know, where are they executing, and when are they executing? Because, right. That's one of the most important things, so we can then after being able to really understand where our programs and where our merchandising are executed in retail to be able to have those meaningful conversations.
Right. And correlate it back to your sales performance.
Absolutely.
So let's shift gears a little bit to bring Eric back into the conversation and Sean too. Like, how do you guys, maybe some case studies in terms of how do you guys help do that then? Let's get to some brass tacks on how that actually comes together.
Yeah, I'll start. What our clients tend to call us, a bit more background on IMS, what our clients tend to refer to us as is the execution agency of record. So everybody's pretty familiar with creative agency of record, where you'll have the BBDOs and the DDBs of the world coming up with the taglines and the major campaigns. We are typically at the end of that chain, where we focus on in-store merchandising, taking that big message and what does it look like and feel like inside of the store. What we started doing over the last couple of years is thinking about that phrase execution agency of record and thinking about what that really means. Before, it meant let's make sure we get the right sources and let's make sure that we get it warehoused and shipped out.
Right.
And that's where we kind of drew the line. So we did our job. Mm-hmm. In conversations with clients like Alexi from Remy, we're realizing that our job really isn't done once we've shipped it out. We need to understand, is it actually getting to the store flow? What store floor? How can we understand that a bit better? And so we've been on the hunt for various technologies, and it's pretty exciting when we ran into Footmarks at a show a little while ago, because they have a technology that doesn't take a lot of labor and allows us to, since we own a lot of the supply chain, we're able to take some of their technology, put it on the devices and the POP that we manufacture, mm-hmm. and then get it out and get that information in. And we can tie in the great information, location information from Footmarks in with the other information that we own on behalf of our clients, such as Remy. So really great stuff.
So you're playing this middle level. You're kind of pulling all these things together. So this great creative campaign, and you go put it in the store. You guys have traditionally been, this is how you operate it. This is not how you just put it in one store, but like how you put it in a lot of stores across given country, given location, whatever. But there's always been this gap in execution. And so then how do you figure out exactly how do you, stop that gap, but then also add this new layer of data and understanding to then surface back to the brand, which is really, really valuable.
Absolutely, yeah. And before this revolution in technology, the last few years, you have to rely a lot on store labor, on field teams, calling in special merchandising groups that have a lot
auditors
of training.
Auditors, things,
exactly.
Yep.
Coming up with surveys, finding out how to get the surveys there, get them back, process them. And there's been some advancements on that side as well, but having something that's touchless and feeds in additional bits of information directly into a visualization platform like BI or Tableau, mm-hmm. is just absolutely necessary.
Oh, so that's a component of this too. Okay, so Sean, then how does, like, in terms of what Eric just described, how do you come in and how does it actually all work? How does this all fit together?
Yeah, so Footmarks originated, as I described, as a proximity platform and an engagement platform. We were working with traditional retailers like a Nordstrom and a Safeway, for example. And we provide an infrastructure of that proximity signal to understand the journey of the customer inside of the store.
Okay.
We're a partner with Microsoft, and we're built on the Microsoft stack. And about a year and a half ago, they came to us with one of their customers, Pepsi and Frito-Lay,
okay,
who described this challenge that was we introduced here in the beginning of the podcast. And so we thought we had an opportunity to kind of take a look at the looking glass a different way. Instead of a customer journey, now we're talking about a merchandising asset and how we find that from its point of origin to the store. And we had a way to do that using beacon technology and geofencing, working directly with a manufacturer like IMS or a CPG directly, where we could track it right to the store itself, and not only tell it's at the store, but how long it's in the store. So part of compliance is that it ended up there, but it's supposed to be there for 3, 6, 9 months, 12 months. And so our solution enabled, we built an asset tracking solution specifically for Pepsi and Frito-Lay, where now we're tracking several hundred thousand of these assets and adding 50 to 75,000 new assets every month. And so it's been a real growth area for us, and we've created new partnerships like we have with IMS, who becomes a valuable partner in that chain, who can take our technology and the relationships they have with CPGs to really solve the problem.
Because Alexi, right, that most of the contracts you're entering into with, say, the retail establishment or however the tiered network works too, a lot of that is predicated upon having end cap space or certain shelf space for this period of time. And so given what Eric was saying in terms of the compliance, like, that's an important part that you want to know is working, right?
Absolutely, totally. And I think it for us, it really helps us to measure the effectiveness as well of our programs, right?
Right.
So, you know, as long as you know where and you know how long and, you know, like, and this is kind of, I would say, like, this is more the quantity, you know, phase, right? You know, it was, you know, where it was, how long it stayed there and, you know, how it was executed. And then after, you can overlay this, you know, with, like, you know, quality measures, you know? So this is where, for instance, you know, we are continuing, for instance, this journey with a couple other technologies that help us to actually go in store to measure actually physically how it's looking. Mm-hmm. So we don't only have the quantity part, we have the quality part as well. So what we can do after is to overlay all our sales data, you know, above to really have the full funnel and really understanding, you know, what really the true effectiveness of all our promotions and programs and what worked, what didn't, right? And this is what we're really testing at the moment for us, you know, to be able to do. And that will, we believe that will basically give us like a lot greater visibility on how we execute, being able to give our sales team some, you know, tangible facts and data to be able to go back to the distributors to be able to increase those execution rates, but as well learn from all our promotions, you know, and being able eventually generate, you know, stronger sales, you know, in our retail environment.
And accuracy in sales forecasting, right? To know
Absolutely.
that product's on the floor and in a prime space that you're paying for.
Sean, is that a key piece of your solution too? I've noticed that kind of a motif as I talk to a lot of tech companies, you know, there's the inherent technology, but then there's also how do you actually make the partner smarter, whether it's the CPG or the retailer? So serving up that data in a way that they can really understand and do something with.
Yeah, Eric mentioned Tableau. We surface a dashboard that allows for that execution rate to be surfaced right away, and the customer can enter in the actual value of the product that sits in that merchandising asset as well. So
okay.
if it's missing from the floor, then they can know what the impact it's going to have
right.
on that store, that region, etc.
Relatively speaking,
yeah.
That's really interesting.
And I think adding to this as well is, you know, like very often, you know, we get data, you know, retrospectively after, you know, the execution
right.
period, you know, and then after, you know, hey, you can't, you know, so I think the big strength as well here is we're able to along, you know, when the kind of retail program starts and along the way you can kind of measure this execution, you know, and so you can react to it that will, you know, eventually generate, you know, more execution and therefore stronger sales. So I think that's a critical component as well, is we're really in time, you know, in like, you know, time, you know, in live mode basically,
right.
constantly
well,
to measure execution.
And I completely agree. And I think something else that's important in all of this, because we're saying it in different ways, but it's about right. efficiently using and deploying that merchandising budget, that yeah. capital that you have. Mm-hmm. So how can you do that? You can understand whether things are in store correctly, if they're in store correctly of a certain distributor, so that allows feedback. A certain sales region, so that allows feedback as well. Maybe you have some training to do, so you do want to send in-store auditors in-store auditors to go survey the situation, but you want to know which stores to go send them to. Mm-hmm. So solutions like Footmarks, I don't think we're ever going to eliminate folks going into stores and understanding what's happening there. I think solutions like Footmarks, though, helps us deploy that capital in a smarter way.
Well, and I think what you're hitting on there too, Eric, which is really important, and we've touched on this a little bit throughout the year, is the traditional methods for evaluating the return on spend of your different ways you can spend advertising against a brand are not well understood within yeah. terms of in-store marketing. And so what you guys are hitting on in this combination of efforts is actually, oh my gosh, people are actually in-store standing at shelf. We actually could make that more effective probably than we know it is now.
Mm-hmm. And part of that journey continues in our solution with some of the CPGs that we're working with, because now that this network's in place and we know what product it is that's sitting inside of that asset,
right.
They can create interesting partnerships for consumer engagement. Mm-hmm. So think of an All Recipes app that pings a user when they're standing in front of that product around a cocktail for the holidays right. using that product that's relevant to the consumer where they're at that point of intention. Yeah. And so a lot of our CPGs are using that. And then some of our grocery customers are providing that data back to the CPG, not only that it's in the store through the Footmark solution, but using the infrastructure of that store to tell them that it's on the end of aisle four where it's right. supposed to be
right.
as well.
Right, yeah, you're bringing some of the funnel economics of traditional e-commerce into the physical yep. space to give you a better understanding of the return of what you're trying to do.
And that's where I think that's where it's really interesting, because it started with like more, you know, trying to measure compliance and execution and give our sales team right. some tools. But it's now as well evolving into more yeah. like a consumer facing, yeah. you know, like platform to be able to actually, you know, build, you know, kind of make our merchandising really smart, you yep. know, and you know, and technologically, you know, able to basically serve some content that is relevant for the consumer when he's in front of the shelf and trying to, for instance, find which product he's going to be able to make cocktails with. So I think this is really like, you know, the evolution. You know, we've started in one space and we're starting to, you know, to really expand on this technology.
Yeah, it's really a competitive advantage.
Absolutely.
And one of the key advantages of this solution to CPGs is there's no store infrastructure, because you can imagine right. the number of store footprints right. that their product is sold within. You can't work with each of those retailers. It's just not scalable.
No, right.
This IoT solution that we're combined here, we're creating and executing on, is really executed by consumers who are pathing through the store, who are providing the update on the location of that asset. So there's no store infrastructure that's needed. So the cost is relatively low.
Yeah, it's pretty minimal. It's yeah. not invasive, you know.
Right.
And that's always what the retailer worries
about.
That's
right.
No, that's from my experience.
Yep.
That's why I was first attracted to you, Sean, just because having run stores, managing the execution of all these things we're talking about actually is really complicated.
And for sure.
It's really difficult. And sometimes you don't know where any of this, you know,
yeah.
display signage or what it not is. It's sitting in the back of the room, the back of the house.
Yeah,
you
that's
can't
right.
find it. You don't know that it's out. So it's very beneficial on many sides of
yep.
this equation.
Well, so. And it also allows conversations to happen that couldn't or wouldn't happen before, because there might be really good reasons
yeah.
why it's not
right.
out there, why it's still in the back room. Could they find it? Was it clear when the up and down dates were? Are we just simply producing too many of this right. one type? Is there not enough space? Should we spend money in giveaways or in different formats
right.
instead of the format that we have now? And before, everybody's just too happy to make a lot of cardboard and throw it away in the trash. and now I think this is starting conversations that just wouldn't have happened
yeah.
yep.
before.
Yeah, I can remember being a buyer. There was a lot of he said, she said, right? It was
yep.
like, hey, it wasn't out. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure it was out. And now you're getting the facts.
And I think that, and that's where, like, the, you know, the complexity as well of, for instance, in the liquor space, where you have a very, very, you know,
yeah.
fragmented, you know, channel
it's
where
more
different,
difficult.
You know, a variety of distributors and customers and therefore different systems. systems, and you know, it's very hard to actually aggregate all this information to really truly understand what's happening, you know, for instance, at a country level. So by building solutions here as well, like, you know, obviously it will give us more visibility, but as well, it's very easy for everyone, you know, like it's you've automated the whole kind of, you know, the whole funnel to be able to understand how execution, you know, is happening, rather than having to send as well, you know, or trying to recap some, you know, some reports from every single distributor, every single retailer, and try to have this understanding. So,
And to that point, we don't want to stop there. We being IMS, but I also imagine Remy and our other clients, we don't want to just stop here. We want to just keep on adding more information and more technologies and tie them together. So I think, you know, Nirvana is having a single dashboard where you can understand where was my national TV spot, my local radio spot, my POP, was it actually in the store? And now through regression and other tools, you're starting to really pick apart what was it that exactly worked. Was it the messaging on the TV? Hey, I've got my A category store sold a lot. Was that because the POP made it in, or was that because of the of the radio spot that we did 2 days before? And then now let's compare two different A stores. Yeah, let's look at the lift, and then let's understand what really was the driver. And you're
it's
not
like
going
digital advertising.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, one of the concepts that we're developing at IMS is taking the A/B test out of digital and putting it inside store.
That's
so
awesome.
We're adding in other technologies like facial recognition technologies, and again, the cost of those and the infrastructure required plugging in isn't the easiest.
Right.
But if you're smart about how you deploy it and in how many stores, and you're using it as a proxy for how those different types of stores operate, you begin to kludge a whole bunch of information together that allows you to at least ask the right questions or dig deeper of your distributors or your field teams.
Yeah, you're right. This is just the start. I mean, we could do a whole nother segment on, like, okay, how do you then just kind of supercharge this as we go forward? I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to close on that. I mean, Sean, as you look for next few years, how do you see this all playing out for you and then in total?
What's interesting is this: how long this problem has existed for CPGs.
Yeah.
And every CPG we talk to gets what the challenge is right away. They've been faced with it. They've tried a number of different solutions. So we see this as a real growth area for us. And to Eric's point, it's exciting to see what's going to come next, because once we get this first problem solved, consumer engagement comes next, and then we can layer on all sorts of data sets and see where it takes us.
Exciting stuff here from NRF. You guys, thanks so much. I thought this was a great conversation. Again, we've got Sean England, Eric West, and Alexi Bouveau. Thank you guys. You can tell that they're thinking about how they're going to change the way CPG is operated in store from a retail perspective, for the good of a consumer, quite frankly, in the long run. So as always, for everyone listening out there, on behalf of all of them, from me to you, be careful out there.